He would rather have them, you know, tell them to eat cake, you know, in a historical reference. It's very, very serious. And the problem is, for the Macron government, he is a World Economic Forum devotee. He's not really very popular, but these farmers have the machinery to really make their point. They can bring the city to a standstill. If the security forces are deployed against them, they can move those security forces out the way.
And my guest, Jim Ferguson, multifaceted luminary, not only a stalwart as a parliamentary candidate for the Brexit Party in Barnsley, but a vanguard in the entrepreneurial realm. He established the Freedom Train International. Now, Jim is synonymous with championing liberties and challenging conventional paradigms. And on the topic of challenging paradigms, we're going to pivot to today's critical discourse, a burgeoning farmer uprising. Now, this movement isn't merely a ripple in the agricultural landscape. It's a maelstrom, challenging the globalist agenda, a testament to the indomitable spirit of grassroots resistance. Jim, it's a pleasure to have you with us. As we delve into this phenomenon, I am eager to learn and see how this movement, could it be a harbinger for a broader ideological shift that's going on in the world?
Well, first of all, thanks very much indeed. I'm delighted to be here with you, James. It's a great honor to be on your wonderful podcast. So to try to answer your question, I think what we are witnessing is a great awakening, where people, by their millions, are waking up to the fact that things aren't quite the way they thought it was. And I think that they also understand that it's a big, big problem for people now is that the mainstream media haven't really been covering the proper news. They're not really telling the truth. And it's become very, very obvious to many, many people around the world that channels like yourself, independent media that are reaching out, they're the ones that are really running with the ball, so to speak. They're the ones that are really taking the truth out to the people. And that's always going to be very much appreciated. And I think we've seen the sort of the upset with the globalist entities out there that are really not happy about that, because in my opinion, they are losing the information war. But to go back to your point in relation to the farmers, yes, absolutely. We are seeing a great, great movement taking place, and it's not confined to one country. They've tried to censor it. They've tried to stop it going international, and they have failed so far. So I would say that there is something that's very, very fundamental happening for multiple different reasons, which we can explore.
Jim, on X, Twitter, the Bird app, you're one of the loudest voices talking about this issue. And what is driving it? What are the top handful of policies or things that these countries are implementing that are causing farmers to go into the streets, clog the arteries of commerce in their cities, and the videos I saw in France, fling crap all over government buildings?
Yeah, well, in particular in France, you know, they know how to protest there. Look, this is going back. I have many friends in France. You know, I speak a little bit of French, but I mean, at the end of the day, this actually goes. This has been boiling up for quite some period of time. What has been happening is that there is a distinct move away from national sovereignty. Yeah. The globalist movement, the whole of the World Economic Forum led by Klaus Schwab, the World Health Organization, the United Nations. These are the more common ones that you hear about, but there are others. You have the Bilderbergers, you have the Trilateral Commission, the Council of 300. There are many of them, but they all have one singular purpose, and that is to create effectively a one world global government that they control. And the pandemic was an indication of just how much they wanted to control everybody, because what we saw with that happening was nations working in lockstep with each other. There was a coordinated response. Build back better. Do you remember the slogan that was put out by Jacinda Ardern and Biden and Boris Johnson when he was Prime Minister in the UK? They all made the same comments. They all read the same scripts. There is, in fact, a globalist central command, if you like, that is dictating to them. And what we're seeing with the farmers in France and Germany and Holland and Belgium, and there's probably about 11 or 12 now, different nations within the Eurozone, that are all seeing really quite significant rising protests. It's all to do with the fact that the lockdowns damaged the economies. The lockdowns damaged society on a whole. And you're seeing people saying, you know what, we're really not having any more of this. And globalists have started, like John Kerry, the climate czar to Joe Biden in America, he's come out and he said that climate change has been caused by the farmers, that farming is the problem, when in actual fact, farmers are the solution, not the problem. So they're reacting to a myriad of different pressures that have been boiling up, in particular, over the last 3 to 4 years, but have been exacerbated by unfair fuel subsidies and calls for farmers to reduce zero carbon, net zero carbon and nitrogen levels. And it's crippling the industry. And of course, there's reasons why the globalists are wanting to do that, which I can come on to in a moment, if you like.
Why are they trying to do that? Is it just a consolidation of power? Is it to make us hungry? Or what do you think?
I think what we've seen with some of the more vocal sort of front men of the globalist order, probably Klaus Schwab has been one of those who have had a long association with people like Prince Charles or King Charles, as he is now. There's photographs that go back to when he was in his middle 20s. Klaus Schwab has been around for a long time. And he's been telling everybody that they need to eat bugs, that they need to stop eating meat. And that there's too much carbon in the world. It's a very dark and it's a very sinister motivation that's behind a lot of this. And some people actually feel that eugenics is, in fact, behind even more of it. When you have people like Bill Gates, who have actively called for reducing the world's population, Stanley Johnson, the father of Boris Johnson, the former UK Prime Minister, saying exactly the same, and many, many others that just feel that there's perhaps too many people using too many resources. Professor Meadows, the list goes on and on. So I think really what's behind a lot of this is, as you've alluded to, it's about control. And they're looking at building those infrastructures now. We know that 15-minute cities are a reality. In England, Oxford is the sort of city that's been trialed in, but we know that it's happening in New Zealand, United States of America, Canada, and other places.
China too.
We see that, we've seen that being rolled out in China. And of course, they've got the social credit score, James. So you're absolutely right to highlight that. So there is this tendency to want to control everybody in terms of their movement, certainly, but also in terms of their monetary their monetary value, worth, and how they earn their incomes and how they spend it. So, for example, CBDC, central bank digital currencies, are definitely coming, but they won't come until the first hurdle, and that's digital ID.
You know, it feels like something even bigger than that's coming, and I'm not sure what that is. Does it feel like that we're on the precipice of something to you?
Yes, it does. Oh, I think so. I think that whilst the globalists are very wealthy, they are very powerful, they have in fact infiltrated many of our national governments and indeed parliaments, because it's not just the governments that are World Economic Forum members or devotees. It's not just them that go to the Davos meetings every year. There is captains of industry, there is the big business, big pharma are heavily involved. Yeah. We had Albert Bourla from Pfizer in a locked door behind the scenes meeting with Klaus Schwab at the last summit there in Davos. So we're seeing a lot of that taking place, but they are actually losing the information war. And as I've alluded to, in terms of the mainstream media, one of the main considerations for the World Economic Forum this year, it wasn't to cure world hunger. It wasn't to stop world war. It wasn't any noble cause at all. In fact, their number one priority, according to what they said, was disinformation and misinformation.
Yeah.
And of course, what they're really talking about is what you're saying, what I'm saying, what independent media are saying. They don't like it because they can't control us.
Yeah. Which country is leading this charge? Where are the farmers most involved? And where is this headed? How are governments responding?
Well, the Dutch farmers really spearheaded it. They were the ones sort of that assembled and got organized in massive scale protests which I've spoken at length about. Other influencers like Eva Vlaardenbroek from Holland have covered it in detail. And of course, she's from that country. But they spearheaded it when Mark Rutte was the prime minister. Of course, he's out of there now. And there is changes taking place within it. But 3,000 farms being expropriated in Holland, in other words, forcibly seized. These are farmers that have farmed there for many, many generations. And what people maybe don't realize is that Holland, maybe with the exception of Germany, Holland is probably the second biggest producer of food and incredibly well-farmed produce in Europe. It's not that big a country, but my goodness, they're punching above their weight. Their farming methods are second to none. Yeah. So the very fact that they're trying to shut them down and prevent them from farming is very, very worrying. Mm. Where it's going to go? Well, we're seeing these farmer protests escalating. We've seen armored vehicles being deployed on the streets of Paris. There are seven main arteries coming into Paris at the moment that have all been blocked. Macron has deployed about 15,000 additional security forces in the form of police officers and riot officers, and armored vehicles have been deployed. But the problem that they have is that, as we saw recently in Belgium, when armored vehicles try to come up against very, very heavy machinery and the tractors that these farmers are using, they get pushed out of the way. When we saw the riots happening with France, with the Gilets Jaunes, the yellow vest protesters, they had no heavy equipment. They were on foot. They were trying to deal with very aggressive policing by Macron, very violent policing. And of course, that's all they had. They had their shoes and their boots that they were standing in and not much else. The farmers are different. They have very heavy machinery and the will to use it. So I think the other big factor in all of this, James, is the amount of support from the public. It's overwhelming. Whenever you look in Germany, for instance, there are entire towns coming out. Friesland, and the population of about 42,000 have practically already came out to cheer the tractors on. But in Germany, we're probably talking on a scale of millions. France is very quickly catching up. And of course, they've grabbed the headlines by saying that they're going to blockade Paris. And they've alluded to the fact that Paris only has 3 days of food. So if they're blockading Paris, that is going to cause real significant tensions and problems. In fact, I've just seen a report. I haven't put it out, but I saw some from somebody else that they've actually gone into a supermarket and closed it down. So where is it going to go? Well, it's anyone's guess. But what the globalists may well have to do is to give concessions, but they won't want to do that either because they will effectively then lose face. Yeah. But in light of the sheer numbers and the upset of the farming communities right across Europe and indeed all around the world, we can talk about the United States in a moment. It's happening, and they may have no choice but to back down or risk very, very serious consequences.
I wanted to ask you about the United States, and you can tell me if I'm a little bit too conspiratorial minded about this, but we've had a lot of food processing facilities blow up in the last year and a half. 18,000 cows were killed in a single explosion last year in Texas. It was like 80% of the cows that died in the last 10 years in these facilities happened in one day, and they blamed it on cow feces that caught on fire. And just yesterday we had 100,000 or 200,000 chickens that blew up in a facility. So I'm just curious, how common is something like that? And why aren't factories that make Snickers bars and other food that's bad for you just blowing up like this?
Well, it certainly does make people wonder. I've been wondering about it myself quite a lot. And of course, we've seen a lot of rail disasters in America with freight trains and chemical trains just being put off the lines and causing some significant pollution of farmland and other areas, water supplies. Yep. I suppose it's not beyond the realms of imagination. If you look at the vaccines, for example, if you look at the mRNA technology that's been going on there, if you look at the excess deaths, which are happening, I mean, it's factual. It really is happening. And the reluctance of any government to talk about it, it's not beyond the imagination that perhaps what we're seeing and witnessing in those incidents that you're relating to may in fact be deliberate. If they are trying to engineer something that would cause food shortages, for example, you know, there's an old saying, I forget who said it, but basically what they said was, if you control the oil, you control the country. And if you control the food, you control its people. So I don't think there's any doubt that there is something happening. And it's not clear exactly who might be behind all of these things, but there is the consequences are potential for food shortages. Now, when John Kerry talks about farmers being the problem, and then we need to reduce the amount of farming and we need to reduce the amount of food production to save the planet, you need to take that very seriously, because he really means it. And the problem is that he, Joe Biden, the Biden administration, are globalists. They will do whatever the globalist order wants them to do. It's a very serious concern. And you've got to remember, of course, that the United States of America is the number one producer of food for the world. It's a vast place.
The other day, I think this perfectly encapsulates how these sorts of ideologies are co-opted. But Vivek Ramaswamy, he was running for president here. He dropped out. But he made some good comments the other day about how people on the left tend to have very big hearts. And that's easily co-opted by individuals that use ideology as a vector to push these types of policies, these globalist agendas, these forever wars, and things that just seem inherently inhuman. Right? And
well, I
go ahead.
No, I was going to say that you know, he speaks very well. I was on a Spaces event with him and Elon Musk and some very big names, probably 2-3 weeks ago. I wasn't speaking, but I was listening carefully. I was up at the top table, as it were, and he was addressing a lot of these points. But it is a serious problem, and of course, it's not just the farmers; it's the ranchers in the United States as well, and they've got some big cattle producers over there, and pigs as well. So all of these things are in the crosshairs of the globalists. They do want to control the food and the food producers, and that's very, very alarming. People are pushing back against it. Freedom Train International, for example, is a freedom movement. We believe in freedom of choice. We believe in freedom of movement. We believe in free speech.
Yeah.
But we're also encouraging the farmers to resist, and everybody else to resist these globalist policies as well.
You know, Jim, I would love to have one of these farmers on to hear from them directly. If you could ever put me in touch with someone, if you know of anyone, I think that would be, to hear it right from them, I think that would be really valuable, and to bring that to farmers here. I live in Arkansas. We're a huge farmland. Bill Gates actually owns, he's like the number one farmer, number one landowner in Arkansas. He owns like 50,000 acres here, which is crazy and suspicious. And there's even some Chinese companies that own a whole lot of land here in Arkansas. But Jim, I really appreciate you coming on. I think this topic is really, really important. And I think that it is signs of what is to come. What can individual, everyday, average people do, you know, and what's an action that they could take, or a support that they could lend?
Yeah, I mean, what I would encourage people to do is to do their own research. Don't take anybody's word for anything. Do a bit of research. But what we are doing, over a year ago, when I'd come out of the political arena, I decided that I was hearing a lot of talk about lockdowns and what was really going on. But not a lot was actually being done. So I decided that something had to be done. I was also very concerned about the attacks on free speech, right-wing conservatives being knocked off of Twitter, as it was back then before Elon Musk took it over. I'm very concerned. So I decided I was going to set up an international movement, sort of similar to the Tea Party movement in the United States, but only on a global level with international partners.
Yeah.
So I've spent the last 12 months doing exactly that. I've been working with people in the United States and in Canada. We now have representation in those two countries, including the UK. France and Germany, Australia, New Zealand, and we're about to appoint representation to Poland and Sweden. And we have built up hundreds on hundreds of contributors and people that are working with us to make that happen. And of course, many, many thousands of members all around the world. So we are pushing back. We are encouraging people to even go from where we're at the moment at the Freedom Trade International strategic level to more the tactical level, sort of the countrywide leadership, and then down to the local or operational levels as well. So we're encouraging groups to form in different communities. Could be in Arkansas, could be in Idaho, could be wherever it might be needed. And as long as their ideals align with Freedom Trade International, which is not difficult to see what we're standing for. We're peaceful, we're nonviolent, but we are pushing back, and we believe that mass noncompliance, for example, may be in order. And what we're also seeing in Texas at the southern border there is on another complete level as well. Thousands of truckers heading there, National Guard being deployed. And I think we're about to see some big changes in America too.
I sure hope so. I hope that this is a year that we can turn it all around. It's definitely a tipping point. I think everybody can feel it.
It certainly is.
Jim, thank you so much for coming on. I hope we can chat again sometime. I'm going to look at your website for Freedom Train International. I encourage everyone to as well. If I can get involved, I would love to. I like to have impact and provide value, and I hope we stay in touch.
You'd be very welcome to, and I appreciate you having me on, James. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.